Today is January 26th, 2020. Cody and I decided to just get together and record an emergency pod with the somber and shocking news of the death of Kobe Bryant earlier today. Not really many words, I guess, to describe such an event and something that affects us as the basketball community, I guess, in short. 20-year veteran with the Lakers dedicated his game to a craft. I think that just kind of taught everyone something about if you put your heart, soul, and time into something, what it can give back to you. So, Cody and I are just going to go through some of the accolades and our favorite memories and just kind of elaborate as to what he gave to the game, to us.
Yeah, to us, like you said, well said. If you know me, you know this one hit home. this one hurt, you know. You see people, you know, are upset, so I really die sometimes, and it's a concept where it's like, oh, you don't even know that person, or maybe that person, you know, showed you a way in some way why you feel that way. But Kobe was, it was different to me. Like, losing Kobe felt like I was losing some type of, like, uncle, like an inspirational, you know, not to say a father figure, I'd always joke around and say he was my dad, but like an uncle. And just to wake up from, like, a nap today and get that news, it was crazy. So, you know, when you hit me earlier, you said, we got to do a Kobe pod tonight. I was like, I'm dropping whatever plan, and we just got to get it done. Just, you know, Kobe is my guy. So, you said, we're going to get into the his accolades, you know, the amazing 20-year career he had, and just our overall favorite memories of him, and, you know, how he made us, how he impacted us as not only basketball players, but as men in the game of life, Mamba mentality.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Just like you said, like, I was playing ball earlier today, and when, like, I overheard the news downstairs, like, someone was like, Kobe died. And just, like, an immediate, like, almost like a weird weight kind of feels like it's, like, placed on your chest. I don't know if you got the same feeling, but, like, it's just kind of, like, I don't know, maybe it's today's day and age. Like, when you hear about a celebrity passing, like, the first instinct's always like, ah, no way, but, like, people just come out of the clear blue with something like that, and then I feel like the first thing you do is check your news site. Like, ours is Twitter, and you go on there, and it's kind of confirmed, and I don't really know what to say. Like, I don't know. It's like, how do you encapsulate someone's life and impact in just, like, a 240-character tweet?
Right, for sure.
But
yeah, not to cut you off, but I didn't know how to feel, and I just didn't feel like getting a tweet off or, like, any Instagram post, which I still ended up having to do because I had to show my respect to, like I said, my favorite athlete to ever walk planet Earth.
Yeah.
That's simply what I call Kobe and AI. They're my motivation to do pretty much everything in life, you know, just how I viewed the game, how I viewed how I wanted to work at things I wanted to be great at. And just to, like you said, like, my thoughts are trippy right now.
I feel you good.
What I mean? Like, this wasn't just a player that if I liked his game, that'd be one thing. Like, I like a lot of guys' game. You know what I mean? There's a tons of athletes, not only NBA players, but there's just a tons of athletes. I just love the way they do what they do. I love how they, you know, promote their craft, how they, you know, how they carry themselves, right? But Kobe was different. Like, his DNA, like Doc Rivers said earlier, like, only a few athletes have that.
Yeah.
You know, that killer, like, I'm competitive, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win whenever I'm competing in anything. That's just a way of life, I guess.
Yeah. And like part of him is also like, I selfishly feel as if he was ripped away from us so early. He had so much to give the game of basketball.
Right.
Like for someone that dedicated 24, like, so Kobe's what, 41? So he dedicated more than half of his life to basketball, and that's all he did. And so
that is so sick to think.
Finally gets out of it, and like now he has the time to like really step back and tell people and teach people and give the game of basketball just to us. Right. Is like why I'm like selfishly just upset.
Yeah, and I want to finish what you said with that. It's, we watched a kid come from Lower Marion and kind of build his name. You know, he struggled a little bit, which, you know, built the mindset. Everybody knows about that. If you follow Kobe, you know about the infamous Utah series where he had like 4 air balls in a row.
Yeah.
Came back the next season, you know, all-star, you know, ready to go. Just took his game to the next level. They went and got Shaq, and then they started winning. What did Kobe, you've seen Kobe seem to be a kid that, you know, turned into like a cocky type kid, a cocky, arrogant, like, I'm gonna come in your building, I'm gonna beat your team, and I'm gonna tell you about it, like, I'm the best. And, you know, everybody kind of hated, he was kind of the villain because of that. And when the whole thing with Shaq happened, Shaq left, people were trying to say, people don't want to play with Kobe, no big time stars play with Kobe. Kobe was kind of a villain in the league, but I started rambling a little bit, but no, it comes back to your point where that's how he was viewed. And then what he's about to give back to the game, people started seeing Kobe in such a different light.
Yeah.
You started understanding, okay, maybe I did hate this guy, but we saw it straight from the farewell tour. People just started to embrace him.
Yeah, and to appreciate that, like, actually art that he put together, the game, like, just like, oh, you always say it's like the 3 levels that he built. And, like, so right. He was so talented late in his career. It wasn't off of athleticism or, you know what I mean?
It's like, just working on your craft tirelessly every single day. And we keep saying it's a mindset that you build into a certain amount of kids. That's why I kind of think that this generation now, not to say it's dying off with the whole, you know, mentality and how they work. Because I think now kids, like they've been saying, and I don't know if you've been, you know, looking on social media, but I forget who it was the other day, and I agree with this point, is the kids don't have the love and the drive for the game anymore. It's mostly like the social media. They want
to
get
other things for a kid to appreciate and love. Right. It's all given to you all at once. Whereas back in the day, like, the reason why Kobe Bryant, guys like that, all they knew was basketball. You would go outside, it's like, all right, you either go to school, come home and play basketball. You could wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go shoot all day because, like, you weren't picking up your phone. You weren't have other distractions pulling you away. And we kind of caught the tail end of that as well. Like, and I'm sure, as you said, like, going to the courts early Saturday mornings and just going to shoot and just getting your own rebound. Like people take that for granted. Like, having a rebound for yourself is one of the hardest things. Like, just to shoot 200 plus shots and just do that all day.
And I think, so now we say, okay, who did Kobe, you know, motivate? It's like these, the young guys in the league, because that's like the last age that really saw him, you know? Because these younger kids now, they're LeBron.
They're seeing highlights of him.
They saw a little old highlights, and they're LeBron, and they're like the younger, the KD, and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of saw older Kobe, if anything, but like the Jason Tatums, Devin Bookers, the guys that have the game. Like, you see they put the whole game together. And that's still tying back to my original point, how much he was about to give to the game. Because these are all guys that worked out with him in the summer.
And go to him and ask him questions.
How many times have you heard Jordan, somebody come and say, oh, me and Jordan worked on our mid-post game this summer?
All those older guys never wanted to give. It was one of the things that's like, you figure it out. Like, the reason I'm the GOAT, like Kobe said it on the knuckle, is like, they give it to very few guys. GOATs only give information to GOATs, but he was giving it to
everybody. Right. He was saying how they share it with me because they know I'm built that way.
Yeah.
But now he had the Skills Academy. Markelle Fultz went to the academy. Like, a ton of players in the NBA were at that Skills Academy he had this summer. Being a sponge for what he brought to the game.
And that is so much better than that Jordan and like those older guys thought, because like doing that opens the game up so much. Like, even not the greatest guys are being able to be taught and coached by Kobe. And then you even see guys like Kawhi, like guys that have now
also a guy that worked out with Kobe,
like, developed into these superstars that he was opening to. It's incredible to see, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you kind of lead into his accolades. I'll close out kind of just our opening with that. Is he succeeded right now by his wife Vanessa Bryant, Natalia, and Bianca, his youngest daughter, and his father Joe Bryant as well.
Should touch on the fact that how it's a very tragic, it makes the the whole situation even more tragic, that his daughter, 13-year-old Gianna, that goes by Gigi, she was famously on the gif that's going around on Twitter right now of Kobe like talking to his daughter, and then she's like really like listening, like soaking it all in. And we make a joke of it, but that was really what was happening. Kobe just being a teacher of the moment. And now those two, they obviously passed away.
You can just tell it's one of those fatherly moments. Like, he's away from his daughter for just a...
You know me, I love Kobe, so I'm trying to read his lips. He's saying, like, he was saying something about a press, and, like, they'll apply pressure here, and she's just like, oh, so they'll... And, oh, my, it's just so sad. Like, he was going to build such a crazy basketball mind in her. And like I was telling y'all earlier at the gym, I saw an interview, and I can't remember exactly who he was on, but he was saying how, you know, he has four girls, and they always come up to him and say, oh, Kobe, you need a little boy. You need somebody to carry a legacy, the Kobe Jr. And Kobe's like, Gianna and Gigi, she's like, I got it. Like, I'm cool. I got this. Like, what you talking about? You seen her? She got a little fade. She had the fade. She was knocked, start to knock down.
She would have been one of those girls that pushed the game in the WNBA first. When she got to the league, you know she was going to be must-see TV. It's like, all right, this is Kobe's daughter.
And her mindset was crazy. And
now the WNBA, like, and she would have had the full... She was 13 years old, and that I think that team, like, I remember his first Instagram post with, like, the Mamba Mentality Academy, and, like, one year they lost to this team. It was, like, 14-6. The next year they came back and beat them by, like, 65.
Well, look, like, people are making fun of Kobe, though. They're like, he really cares as much about a teenage girl team. Like, everything he does, he puts 100 into it. So, like, he made, like, look what
those girls got so much in better. Such a, like, a small span. Like, they're one of the best AAU teams in the country. But,
right.
All right, let's go through.
I'm going to run down. Yeah, I'm going to run down.
Impressive accolades of Mr. Bean.
And I feel like I still haven't tied this point all together. But basically what I'm saying is Kobe went from being that villain, the young kid, to being, like, that killer villain in the league, to people appreciating what he did, essentially. And then now, after the game, just giving back. You know what I mean? People just start saying, okay, you have to respect the dedication that this guy, you know, gave this craft. We'll share a couple stories later. I got tons of stories that I just remember of guys saying about Kobe that I'll obviously share on this pod. But like you said, you want me to run down some of his accolades and
so just, you know, a long list, but we're gonna get through it because, you know, you can only have one time to honor somebody. So
okay, so Kobe Bean, out of Lower Marion High School in our area. We played them twice a year in the Central League. Kobe Bryant out of Lower Marion, 6'6", about 215 over the career. He was an 18-time All-Star. Okay, sorry. He was drafted by the Hornets and then got traded to the Lakers for Vlade Divac. I know the Hornets hate themselves for that. All-time blunder. But, yeah, he was an 18-time All-Star, 2-time scoring champ, 5-time NBA championship. My man got that bling. 15-time All-NBA. 15-time All-NBA. 12-time All-Defensive Team. 12-time. That's like the people... that's when people don't really understand. Like, Robert Covington was first team all defense last year, or 2 years ago, and he had a crazy defensive year. He did, but that was like insane. Like, his life moment. Like, this man was on the team 12. That's just to put in perspective, 12 times.
Especially in that era, a lot of those came in like the early 2000 eras where defense was the focal point of basketball still. So making the all defensive team as a guard.
I highly doubt. I could be wrong. I highly doubt, like, guys like, Maybe Pippen does. But, like, dudes like Tony Allen, like, they're supposed to be defenders, don't have 12 first-team all-defenses. Yeah, so that just, like, he's bringing on defense every night. Let me keep going, though. He was on the all-rookie team, obviously, his first year. 4-time All-Star Game MVP, 2-time Finals MVP. Only a 1-time MVP of the regular season, but he got, geez, so many years with those Nash years. And the Nash year, he averaged 35, and Nash averaged, like, 16 and 10.
Yeah.
And there was another year. I'd have to look that up. Yeah, and I mean,
y'all just know
quick rundown. Wore 8, and then he wore 24. Changed his number out halfway through the career. Basically killed with both numbers. 25 point per game career score.
Both instantly retired by the Lakers.
Instantly. 25 point per game score. You know, he's much more of a threat than that. Obviously, had the infamous 81 point game on Jalen Rose and crew. But, man, y'all know Bean, man.
Okay, so before we start to get into some of our, like, our favorite game moments, let me just ask you, if you had to pull one aspect of Kobe's game that was the most lethal or gave the most to basketball, what would you think that is?
See, well, Kobe is weird because he's everything, every part, I think he was great at everything.
Yeah.
Like, I really think, people wouldn't say he's a good passer, great passer. I think he was a great passer. And I think he was a great passer when he needed to be.
Greatness personified, a little reference video for y'all. But
there you go, Kobe. Like, so, That's why I said the question is weird, like, if you want me to single out one thing. But if there's one thing I always admired about Kobe, and I thought it was such a technical part of the game of basketball, was simply his footwork. And you know, I was like, you know, I used to always talk like, the reverse pivots and the pump fake. Oh, let you fly by. I'm not even let you create body contact. I'm just going to spin off you and stay on my left pivot. Then I'm going to throw it off the glass and run on a perfect angle and finish over y'all. Man, it's just like, he was so technical that you knew that this was all work that he put in. And one quote I loved of him, he was like, it doesn't matter where the defender is, I'm always looking at the second guy. Because whatever you're doing while guarding me, when you put your when you get your contest up, I've attempted way too many shots. Like, I've put up too much shots in the gym by myself that this shot is on autopilot. He said his shot was on. That's one of the most disrespectful things you can say to, like, a defender or somebody trying to, like, my shot's on autopilot, so it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you can see with the way he shot that it was. Like, his shot was, it would be flat when it had to be. It would be, it had arc when it needed it. Like, it was
needed insane. To get it off.
Like, and, just, like, to be, like, a career 43-44% guy, like, everybody knows Kobe was a great shooter.
You had to shoot volume, man, especially in the times when he carried the Lakers. A lot of those numbers get brought down after those years when Shaq left and he had the Sasha Vujacic's of the world, like, the Kwame Brown. So, like, he had to shoot the 35, the 40 times a night just to sneak into the first round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I like that question, but I'll go with footwork. Okay. Just, like I said, that could you name 10 guys in NBA history that had a better post game than him?
No. He's
not talking about guard. I'm talking about players.
Period. As for any guard, he's in that team. Like, you ask all of the best fours in the league that I've ever played, they all say Kobe.
His post game is just. I don't know. I'd have to watch Mike's true post game on a night to night basis.
His is more developed. I don't care.
Anybody says. I think Kobe took to more of it. Like, he's like, all right, Mike did this as he got older, so I'm gonna do this. Plus, I'm adding my twist.
Plus,
with
what the game was like, just like as you said, like adding in the series of pump fakes and being able to just kind of get the defender to where you didn't know if he's gonna shoot in the first, second, or third one, and like your hand kind of like there's only so many times you're gonna stretch your hand. All the way out, like it's just so many aspects. My personal, of that is just like the overall mid-range game. Like,
yeah, I was actually about to bring that up.
He was him, Melo, and those guys are the last of those dying breeds. And you even seen in LeBron now, who we're talking about on the last pod in that Toronto series, where he was just even experimenting, playing around over the shoulder turnarounds. Like, he took that to like almost a different level, man. Like, just from
he opened it up. He let when he kind of. Showed wings, and even like guards, like me growing up, I was like, okay, well, I'm a guard, but if I have a guard that's smaller than me, I can still take him to the post. Not like anybody's going to double me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Even when I played in college, I posted a lot, and you know, I thought I was Kobe or whatever. But you know what I mean. Like you just, I think guards and wings, like the KDs, the Bronze, they all realize that mid post fade is
that's a spot in the game to where you can expose, and you're not just like as you said, you're not going to get a lot of defensive. Attention from that spot because like, if you leave your spot when I'm here, then there's gonna be so many guys open on the three.
And it's a spot you can simply walk to.
Exactly.
Like you can walk to the elbow.
Yeah.
Like the defender, if it's a great defender, he's not gonna let you catch it where you want to. But you're essentially using spots on the floor. And like I said, he showed you don't have to be Dirk or KG to have a post like be big with a post. Like, you can be a guard and do it.
And I see that, and to where I think that can still be effective in basketball. We're seeing it obviously not to such a high scale, but right now with the Blazers, where Melo, like that part of Melo's game is helping the Blazers so much because they need scoring just from different spots on the floor. And when you have a guy that's elite at that, like kids nowadays that we talked about it aren't really focusing on the small little aspects of basketball, the mid-range. Like you need buckets from there at some point. You know what I mean? Because they may be locking that shit up on the perimeter and have it down low. So.
No, that's a fact. And I'm going to ask you this. Two questions, actually. What player reminds you of Kobe the most in the league right now? And it doesn't even have, like, okay, so I'll ask mentality-wise. Obviously, it's like a Russell Westbrook type. Anybody that has that dog, that killer, like, Russell Westbrook's a killer. Yeah. Like, he might not be as good technically as Kobe, but, like, he has that in his chest. But, I mean, like, what player, like, skill-wise?
The first person that I would think of is KD, just because I think the way KD's offensive game has grown in the past 5 or 6 years is just disgusting. Like there's nothing you could do now when he's in that mid-push range, and he has all of that, not to obviously the level and speed that Kobe did, but just the twists and turns, and you just have to guard it. He can spin, put it over his shoulder, he can rip his arms too. So that's the first person. And then the second, I don't know. Let me, you give me a person, and then I'll think of another person.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I wasn't really thinking KD, but I think KD can just score so well, and I think he's taken so much from all the greats. But I would say Kawhi, just like that mid range and all that. And then I was going to ask you a question about Kawhi too. But let me y'all know this KD. If you know me, I DM KD on Instagram sometimes, and he answers. Like, it's weird. It's a weird thing in my life where I have casual conversations with Kevin Durant, but. KD said to me one time, he said, I asked him, do you, it was in the peak of his Warriors run when he was just getting 35 in his sleep. Like, I think it was a little stretch where KD was going and scoring like 12 a night and shooting like six times. And everybody's like, what's wrong with KD? And he's like, I'm Kevin Durant. Like, y'all know who I am. And then he just started going crazy. Like, I hit him up on Instagram and I'm like, yo, like, the shit you're doing, bro. Like, I loved Kobe and I just watched like what they said Mike was and, I see 266 elite killer scores, but like you may be the best pure scorer I've ever seen. Yeah. And KD said, I love the compliment and all that. And, you know, that's a huge honor. Yeah. But like this shit Kobe and Mike have done that I could never do. Yeah, he kept it humble. Like he said, playing honest, he said, look, there's the stuff they did, the stuff I watched them do growing up, I still could never do. So that's a little something there. But I was going to ask you about Kawhi because when Kawhi was having his little run in the playoffs, people were saying he's better than Kobe, more clutch. And Max Kellerman said that on TV and all those media guys. So what do you – I don't think, like, as great as Kawhi is, I still
it's
don't fleeting. Think
– It's the microwave era. So everyone likes – someone's presented to you. It's like, yes, that one particular moment of time, Kawhi looks better than the last thing you saw of Kobe. But you have to think of someone that did it over a span of 20 years. And so we'd say 14 of those are prime, like primal years. Like you knock out his first 2 years in the league and his last four. Like Kobe did that over and over. So let's just get into like, let's get into the memorable moments.
So Kawhi, nothing.
Not yet. You have to come back. So now when people have this like in their heads, like, all right, Kawhi is a killer. He can give you 38 and 9 in the playoffs.
Go do it four more times.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we'll start right now in 2006, one of the first moments that you and I kind of were just reminiscing on against the Suns. Champion that year was Miami Heat.
I remember that game to the T, man.
Dwayne Wade. But so first game, Phoenix Suns win 107-102. Second game, Lakers taking 99-93. Third game, 99-92.
They went three in a row.
Fourth game, 99-98. Fifth game, the Suns win.
That's the series the Suns beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
but the memorable moment from the series is game four.
Yeah, game four.
When they took a 3-1 lead, I will always remember that series because I was watching that in my mom's store, sitting there watching a little screen and a little behind the counter. And I mean, they were down. He brought them back at the end. He had the game tying layup where he had like an in and out dribble where he gathered and like just folded the ball up to tie it up 90 all going in overtime. It's crazy I could actually remember that game by play. And then I just remember the last play in overtime was the jump ball. It was like 6.7 seconds left, something like that, 7 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And it went straight to Kobe, or it went to somebody, passed it to Kobe. Kobe came around, ran around from like the left, so half court, like on the left side of the court, he ran all the way around to the right elbow and just pulled up on an angle and just cashed it out. And I just remember the fist pump, left hand fist pump, and he pointed at somebody.
Fist pump. Yeah, it was a Smush Parker for the defensive play.
No, that was to go to overtime. Okay, yeah, okay. But he pointed at somebody. I forget who it was. Where he went. But I just remember just like going to the courts and like shooting a shot and doing the court. Yeah, the Kobe fist pump. I'm like, yo, Kobe really about to beat Mike. So I would never forget that, man. Yeah. They ended up losing that series because their team was boo-boo, and the Suns were actually, like, that's when the Suns were supposed to kill the Lakers anyway.
Yeah, Suns, Langer, Barbosa, Marion, all those. But
yeah, Mari.
So the next one we had was 2009 against the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, the only time
Western
Conference Finals. He was just killing that series.
Those series always were great.
Yeah.
Against Melo. But yeah, go ahead.
Powder Blue Jones. So game one, 105-103 Lakers. Kobe with a 40 piece. Game two, 106-103. And so now it's all
like
level. And I'll let you go. So after this game, Melo's memorable comments like, all right, now we're about to go back to Denver and we're not losing. Right? And Melo was talking a little crazy. Now we're in game three, May 23rd. And
they won, though. I think they beat them.
No, Lakers.
Oh, that was game three.
Yeah, this is game three. So just so kind of walk us through.
The Denver beat LA in game two. I think I missed that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah.
And I remember he said that. Yeah, it was 1-1.
So kind of walk us through what you remember.
How I remember. So I remember Melo just being like an up and coming guy. Like he's an up and coming star. Brian came at the same time, and Melo, him and Kobe was getting crazy physical in the post that game, like fighting for like just that series, just general. Melo was competing. Like everybody's telling Melo don't play defense. Like Melo was competing, and that's when Melo just had he ran into a dog. Like it is he ran into a seasoned vet dog, and he wasn't getting past Kobe at that point in his career. And what I remember from that game is. The hang tray on J.R. Smith, left wing, down one. You know, Kobe used to wear baggy jerseys, baggy shorts. I remember he always pulling up his jersey from his shoulders. And like I said, minute or so left.
Minute 27 left.
And two. Yep. And like, when you see Denver, like, yeah, there it is right there. You get the Denver legs, man. You're exhausted. You just see the will in the shot. That's just one of those shots he just wills in. Left hand, two dribbles. Left has him into three right over JR and he makes the crazy face that everybody knows Kobe. He pulled the underbite back all hard. Oh my God.
You see JR just like, damn, where you slap his hip like,
Roddy had to take my man, Bean, man. He was different, you know. That series was crazy. He ended up showing Melo, like, I'm big bro.
Yeah, had 41 that game. Mm-hmm. And then they went on to win that series 4-2 on the way to...
And I don't want to keep cutting you off, but, like, bro, like, had 41. Like, bro, he's scoring 40 in playoff games. So, like, when they need him, he's performing. Like, what Kawhi was doing last year, and everybody saw how crazy that was, Kobe was doing that in the playoffs every time he had to.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't coming up big in no game. He wasn't coming up small in games, man. He willed his team to win. I don't care if he shot 40 times. Like, they going to win the game.
All right. The last one that we got, just kind of in order, and then we'll kind of go off the top, was the Nuggets again. The Suns again. The Suns, 2010.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, throughout this series, there was, like, back and forth. L.A. won the first two. Phoenix came back, won two at home. And they traded off. LA won one game five, 103-101, and then game six, Lakers won that 111-103. And you and I were just talking about it. Kobe was just that was the game where the Suns just went all out, and they were doubling any single time he crossed. I think under that like little timeline, near the 3-point line, like any spot he went to, he was just getting the double from Leandro Barbosa and Sean Marion, and falling away in a corner.
Yep.
Over
Grant Hill. So he that game was weird because it wasn't weird, but I just remember. So I was an avid Kobe fan, like, and you know it was Kobe and LeBron. We were younger, like we were like 13, 14 at the time. So we all wanted Kobe and LeBron to face off in the finals so we could see who was better. But LeBron like wasn't making it at that point. Like,
yeah,
he couldn't get past.
The Cavs were just terrible.
Yeah, they were just too bad.
Varejao.
No, we ain't gonna get into killing those teams. They had good role players, but they weren't good enough to like consistently go to the finals. Yeah. And LeBron's game wasn't complete enough yet for the playoffs.
Yeah.
To you know what I mean? To just go to the finals. But what I remember about that game is, I mean, they were just like you said, throwing doubles at him, and he would just like that was one of those games where it was like his shot really is on autopilot, like double pump fake, and then just cash out right over Grant Hill and tap Alvin Gentry in the ass, boom, going back on the floor. Like, man, it's nothing I can do.
Absolutely nothing.
Like, and Alvin Gentry looked at him like. What can I do? Like, I can't do nothing. Walk back. And it's like,
just look at the faces on the Suns bench. Like you see Steve Nash, like, and everyone's just like, yo, we are putting everything into this game, and this guy is just like getting to the line.
Look at his eyes, man. Look at his face. He's just a killer. He was a killer. Double spin off the double. Rajah, what's that? Channing Frye and Grant Hill. Like, he could see it in his eyes like he wanted it, man. There was no fear in this man. He was cold-blooded.
Yeah. And then another one that we always talk about. Just
hold on, my fault. But that, like I said, that was what I was cool for me.
Yeah.
As a Kobe fan, I'm like, yo, my man going to the finals. Y'all man Brian can't even make it. I used to admit that it was a great time for Kobe fans. Look, he's just flying his way into the finals, and Brian can't beat Dwight and all those dudes, man. So. Nah, it was a great time, man. Kobe had that stretch where he, I have to get this off on the Kobe pod, on the day of Kobe. And this has to go off on some type of social media, like throwing a week. How, if you really gonna look me in my face and tell me Tim Duncan was a better basketball player than Kobe Bryant,
No.
Like, he's being left off all of these top 10 lists and stuff, and Tim Duncan's usually on them. And people always put Tim Duncan over. They say Kobe was never the best in the league. That's Nick Wright's favorite thing to say. Kobe was never best in the league. It was always Tim Duncan. Then it was Shaq, Tim Duncan. Then it got passed to LeBron. Kobe never was the best. And I'm like, when in anybody's right mind was Tim Duncan better than Kobe?
Kobe got robbed of like two MVPs because he was going through those allegations. Like those years, the Nash one, like the first year, all right, I understand. But like Kobe averaged like 37.
Wait, but like, regardless of any, I'm talking about, we're just talking about the footwork and stuff.
Yeah.
That post, like, I'm taking Kobe on a post. Like, Tim Duncan was amazing on the post. He had that bank shot was crazy. That jump hook both over team. Both shoulders. His bread and butter was the midi. His bread and butter was the midi off the pick and pop. He could finish around the rim both hands. Spade.
He played on the Spurs. Like, the Spurs is open shot central, bro. Like, everybody is getting the best possible look or best possible opportunity to score. Like, sometimes Kobe had to make things, he wasn't making things difficult, but he approached difficult scenarios better than Tim Duncan.
He had to. Guards control the pace of the game. That stuff always factors in for me. Yeah. But that's your man, Bill Simmons. He loves saying that. Oh, millennials. He's a Celtics fan. Millennials think. That has nothing to do with anything. Yeah, millennials think. He said millennials actually think that Kobe Bryant's better than Tim Duncan. Like, you're telling me Tim Duncan's a better basketball player. Like, he can do more with a basketball than Kobe. That's crazy.
So Tim Duncan's one of the great. He's the greatest power forward of all time. But he played that role. Like, it was just so much more simple. Like, you have to think of the thing.
Other fours, I think, are more skilled than Timmy, too. And I think Timmy was great. Yeah. And I think Timmy was stupid crazy. But I think he may have been slightly overrated because there's no way he's better than Kobe.
It goes to what's being thrown. Like, Kobe, like, when you're being schemed out of games, like in that 2010, like 2011 stretch, like when the whole sole focus of teams is, all right, let's keep Kobe away from these certain spots. Like, with the Spurs, it's not like that. It's like, all right, you have Tony, who's at the peak of his powers. And, like, I know Tim is balling and Tim is very important, but it's like you're worrying about the Spurs. Like, the Spurs as a whole, like, all right, we can't let them beat us in these aspects. Like, with Kobe, like, to combat that on a night-to-night basis and then still put up those numbers, like, that's what makes basketball hard. So on an individual standpoint, you can't say Tim is
better
than that. Like,
see, I love well said. I don't want to kill Tim too much. And I don't even want to compare them that much on Kobe Day. And obviously, this tragic day, we want to keep it strictly Kobe. But I just had to say that, like, I wanted people to understand. I don't think, and I don't know how you feel. If you feel a certain way listening to this podcast, let me know. But I don't think Tim Duncan was ever a better basketball player than Kobe Bryant. I think that's an asinine thing to say. I think Kobe Bryant is a top three player to ever play the game. Talking about in terms of skill, in terms of just what you could do on a basketball court. And your homies, all your homies saying, I was crazy for saying Kobe GOAT. Anybody in top three of all time, that's debatable. You can be called the GOAT. Yeah. But I feel like you're
right to go. I understand. Yeah. So let's just kind of close out. We'll give just kind of the lasting impact. Obviously, more things will come to the forefront as we go on and hear and read more things about Kobe. But just something that Kobe has given to you as an individual growing up. I'll let you go first, and then I'll close it up.
Yeah, we kind of, like I said, we kind of touched on this at the beginning of the pod. Kobe was a idol to me, right? I was a diehard Sixers fan my whole life.
Yeah.
And for me to kind of just gravitate to a superstar that played in Los Angeles his whole career, a team that beat, like, in 2001, I was only five, I watched it happen, but a team that beat us in the finals and just dominated the league for a little bit, like, for me to gravitate to him a little late, like, midway through his career and just start to appreciate how great he was and how much better than everybody else he was because strictly off his work ethic, that's how you know, like, he really was one of my favorite people or favorite athletes. But now, as far as a person, it was what pulled me to him was his personality, how he approached everything, how he was over the top. Like, his competitiveness was over the top. Like, Kobe's the guy that we thought, okay, when he had kids or whatever, like, he's not letting his kid beat him until they can beat him. Like, he's like that killer dad at the point where
he took it to the next level to where it's,
you know what I mean? He kind of softened up as he got older. You see, there's very videos of him and Gigi, may her soul rest in peace, and everybody else that was on the plane as well. But we've seen the videos of them. He's kind of letting her score a little bit. But anyway, like I said, his competitive nature and the way he approached him was over the top about everything. There was the video of Chris Rock trying to talk to him in the finals or in the playoffs, and Kobe just locked in. Yeah. Chris Rock is clearly there making jokes. One of the funniest guys on the planet.
Like, I refuse to let you knock me off my square.
Right, and Kobe's looking straight forward. I think just that's what I took from just approaching everything with that, don't want to be cliche, but that Mamba mentality, just locked in, focused on the task at hand, and just understanding if I put whatever I put into something is what it's going to, you know, give back to me. I kind of, you know, got that from Kobe. I think moving forward as a 24-year-old man, like, I'll take that in my life knowing that, all right, well, if I put whatever I put into this is what is going to give me back,
yeah,
I kind of can live with that and understand that Kobe was the one that instilled that into me.
Yeah, I think the same exact thing. For someone that, as we said, put everything into the game of basketball, it's not something that I could really appreciate or grasp when I was 13, 14 years old, because you don't understand what, like, real work is. Like, you go to school, come home, and hang out with your friends. But the older I got, as you said, and obviously coming to the helm at the end of his retirement, I think that game in itself, like, I remember that day, like, to the T, like, you were a little sad, and you're seeing one of the people that was a staple of your life kind of closing their career out, and they're playing the Jazz, and you're just watching, and you're seeing the flashes of greatness. And as we've talked about earlier throughout the podcast, just the countless hours and hours of work that he's put into just these simple things on the wing, but just ways to efficiently get a bucket, even when there's minimal space, and just seeing all of, like, almost a culmination just of work being presented to me for the last time. Like, it's just something that you have to appreciate almost just as a fan, as a person. And as you said, it's going to kind of carry over and roll over into my life, because it's how you approach things on a day-to-day basis. You get 1% better with everything that you do, and you kind of take that and you build and you go through it, and the injuries and the whatever can happen to you is just inconsequential in the grand scheme of things, right?
Right.
And so you can take anything that's thrown at you and just continue to work and drive through. So, like, I would like to, again, send my condolences to the Bryant family, anybody else touched or moved by Kobe Bryant, for people that are feeling, like, even for guys like you, because he meant the world to you just as a basketball player. Like, my heart goes out to you, Lakers fans, and just basketball community. It sucks. It sucks to have someone like this ripped away from us. But,
and like I was saying to you earlier, to kind of end it, it kind of gives us a perspective, and it kind of, like I said, it gives it just a different way to view it, that, you know, none of us are invincible. I mean, it's always a sense of, I don't know where I want the word I want to use here, but it's always a sense of understanding, like, anything and anyone could be taken away from you at any time.
Very humbling.
And as important as Kobe was to not only you and I and the basketball world, he was important to his family as well. He's important to everybody that he's come in touch with throughout his life. And just to understand a guy of that level and that stature and what he's been able to accomplish, not only as an athlete, but as what we were saying earlier, he has so much more to give to the game. He was doing the detail series on ESPN. He wrote a book. He just won an Oscar. Like, he won an Oscar like a couple years ago. You know what I mean?
Really
2 years.
About to grasp this thing we call life.
Yeah, man. So. And you just got that sense that people were starting to gravitate him as a person, not just a basketball player. And you get that sense that he just had so much more to give, and he was going to approach every day of his life like he did as a basketball player, and that's only going to make him even a greater person moving forward than he was. Athlete.
That's where you appreciate player. Just because even though he was taken from us, we knew that what he left with basketball, like, he gave every ounce of himself to that. And we got to see, like, I mean, for the first, we only get to see it a few times, like, Bron, Jordan, him, obviously, but like, you only get to see this rarely. Like, a person gives their all, like, they're guys that are talented, like Rogers and all that, but they give their all to something, plus they're super talented. And then we get the outcome. So, all
right. So, even let's finish with this. I think we should kind of. I just feel like I can't not get this off on the pod. Just like some stories I've heard from like other players and kind of like how real it really was as far as how deeply invested he was in his craft and being the greatest he could possibly be. So, there's a story that Gilbert Arenas shared. This is when Gilbert was on, like, setting the league on fire, scoring 40, 50, shooting shots, turning around, and making them, just being, you know, he was amazing at the time, and he, you know, was giving Kobe buckets, and he had it going in the league at the time. He said he showed up to a game one time and saw Kobe, It was like 3 o'clock, 3:30. Gilbert thought for sure he'd be the first person on the court. Game was at like 10:30 that night. Well, obviously 7 in West Coast. And 4 hours before game time, Kobe's shooting like hundreds and hundreds of left-handed jump shots. So if you know basketball, obviously you know Kobe's a right-handed player.
Yeah.
Shooting left-handed jump shots. I'm finishing around the rim, jump shots, like from all angles, fadeaways, all that. And Gil's like, yo, like, what's wrong with this dude? Did he break something? Like, is his arm broken? Is his shoulder? You know what I mean? So he said the game started. He said Kobe did not attempt a single left-handed jump shot. So imagine he's working on that for hours pregame and didn't attempt a single shot. And it's just like, it's just a testament to how prepared he was going to be. So essentially the moral of that is he's just ready for if anything happens on the right side of his body, whether he breaks a finger, which he did in his career, which he played through, whether he tears his labrum, which he did in his career, which he played through, whether he, you know what I'm saying, just anything that happens on the right side of his body, he could still just be equipped to be an effective basketball player shooting the ball with his left. And there was multiple times where he shot the ball with his left in games, but just the fact that he really was sitting there shooting the ball with his left hand before an NBA game, like I said, it's just a testament to how deeply he was and to deeply invested he was in his craft.
No, I like that. Yeah,
you have any?
No, that's how we'll close it out. Brain? I think that's the perfect way, just of kind of that kind of gives you a small glimpse as to the person that Kobe is. So thank you guys for listening. Once again, this is TNT Hoops. This is like what volume 8, just a kind of like a pop-up pod that we did. We'll get back to you guys again later this week with some more content. Very interested to see how the league's been going to handle this passing. They've been taking, 24-second violations to start the game so far. Expect to see patches and different sorts of, I guess, honoring of being over the next week or so.
Right. And I'm going to close by saying this. Young kids out there, anybody listening to this podcast, I don't know if you need to hear this, but you need to hear this. It's always, like, it's sometimes okay to sit back and just work on what you do. You know what I mean? Work on your craft. Become better at what you want to be great at. And I say that because, like I said, it's just appropriate for this episode. Kobe was just, like, notoriously just known for, he wouldn't go out clubbing with everybody. He would just stay back. He would make sure he took care of his body. He would make sure he was getting up extra shots. So if you're a person that feels, oh, you're missing out, you have, like, FOMO, or your friends are going out on the weekend or something like that, that's always going to be there. Understand there's always going to be moments like that. But understand if you want to be great at something, there has to be sacrifice. And I think
one like opportunity to make an impact on something that you love,
right?
As you see now with the result that the impact that Kobe made on basketball, that's something that carries over even after his passing. You know, for the eternity of time, we'll be able to look at Kobe's game and what he gave to the game of basketball and say that is the product of when he put in hard work. So that's great,
right?
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I just wanted to end with that. Thanks for finishing that up for me. TNT Hoops, man. Y'all know the vibes. Like I said, we had to killer emergency episode here. Broke all the schedule for my man B. Had to just show him my respect to 8-2-4. Rest easy, man. I know you're looking down on the basketball community. You're gonna keep blessing us in many different ways. And condolences to your family. TNT Hoops. This is episode 31.
This is a volume episode. So volume 8. All right. Love. See y'all soon. Guess this is how it feels to be rich, homie. You hustling backwards if you're chasing a bitch. Stupid. Chase the paper. They-